glowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
Hey, it's Beth here, episode 529. Okay, I saw two movies this week. Big week. Bad movies. Ghostbusters suffers from intense sequel-elitis. This one didn't even stay in the lines. They didn't rehash anything. It would have been a relief. There's no story here. The Frozen Empire shows up at the very end. We have no idea what's going on. There's no clock ticking. We don't meet people on the street. We don't care about anything. It's like they just threw it together. The only intriguing thing is, why is Bill Murray out there selling it in a great mood? Nobody knows. I tried to figure out how much money he made from this one. I can't tell. He made a ton of money with the first one. But something funny happened during this. He was at a In-N-Out Burger, just picking up a burger, doing the circuit, whatever. And as he's walking up to order and everybody's looking at him, there's this guy with a burger and a bunch of French fries. He leans down, takes five of the guy's French fries, pops them in his mouth, and he says to the guy, nobody's ever going to believe if you tell him that story. So that's kind of cute. Other than that, the movie was a waste. Okay, Love Lies Bleeding, Kristen Stewart's new movie. Oh my God. It's got Ed Harris in it, wearing this crazy wig. He really can play white trash man better than anybody in the world. This story is so dark. These two girls, I mean, seriously, they're dirty. They're grimy. I mean, I don't know many lesbians, but all the lesbians I know want to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Why do all of these lesbian movies have these girls that are so masculine, that are so tough? I don't even think guys want to live in that apartment that she lived in or do the things she's doing. It's just not fair. There was nothing glamorous or beautiful about it. Kristen Stewart, the minute the movie was over, she did her hair, put on an outfit, and looked great. I don't know why she can't look great in the movie. I don't understand what they're doing to lesbians. And I asked two girls that I know are lesbians, married, happily, everything's fine. And they love it. They love the way this looks. So I'm thinking, this must be a generational thing. And I know the girls that, when I was a kid, who were lesbians who worked at Neiman's, wanted to look like Audrey Hepburn. And they did. They dressed up. They kept it together. They wanted to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. So obviously I'm missing something here, but the box office isn't doing great. It gets great reviews because people want to like it. They want to believe in it. They want to think they're wonderful and clever and courant. So fine. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. If you liked Emma Stone's Poor Things, you're probably going to like this. Otherwise, and if you want to take kids to a movie, don't take them to Ghostbusters. Take your grandchildren probably to Godzilla or whatever's coming out this weekend. This movie, the little kids in the movie theater, there were two of them. They were talking. One picked up his phone and started playing a game. It's not a plot that keeps people in their seats. So, complete waste of money, complete waste of time. If you got to do it on Netflix. Oh my gosh, it'll be there in 2 weeks. This isn't making any money. They keep talking about it. The opening was good because people go to Ghostbusters. The word of mouth is not good. So it'll be there in a month and a half. It'll be there this summer when your grandchildren come to visit. That'll be great. Okay, so the News Hound this week was pretty good. They did this study with the children from the Covenant School mass shooting in Nashville. And they had all these amazing therapists. But what they realized, and I think this is so sweet, is that all the children needed a dog, a happy dog, a golden retriever dog, living in their home, going to school with them, giving them something to look at and pet and roughhouse with. And it just, some guy got a turtle thinking that it would teach the children longevity. Guess what? It didn't. But these puppy dogs, these fun dogs, the kids are getting so much better, sleeping better, having better dreams. Because when you're playing with a dog, you really can't be upset. So I knew it. I knew dogs were good, but I didn't know that they were that good. The only thing, they tried every other thing in the book. And the only thing that helped these kids laugh again was a puppy dog. It's so cute. Okay, so here I go again. And I guess I'm going to look like a complaining old woman, but I am. And so I don't mind looking like it. Okay. Personality over tradition with the anti-wedding. This is in the vows section of the New York Times, Sunday, March 24th, right off the press. Okay. We have this woman who helps you plan a wedding that is so amazing. And it might have a bouncy house, and it might have, you know, a petting zoo, or instead of a cake, a pie, or whatever. And your father doesn't walk you down the aisle. And mostly it's just a party for your friends. And maybe you have a scented candle with your name on it, or whatever. Basically, and they say, go and get married in a simple ceremony by yourself first if you want to. So this guy that's not walking you down the aisle, well, he can still pay $100,000 to $200,000 to be treated like dirt at this wedding. It's unbelievable. Oh, so there's no more cutting of the cake. There's no more talking about, you know, funny stories about my daughter, my sister. Nothing. Nobody gets to do anything at this wedding. In fact, they might even order pizza out. How in God's name does this cost $100,000? What the couples are requesting most? Personalized design details with my name all over it. I feel so sorry for these parents. I mean, what a joke. What a joke. Cannabis, couches, bubba tea, comfort food stations, Mario Kart games. I mean, what? This is like a wedding for a 7-year-old. But I don't believe how much it costs. And there are people that plan it exquisitely well, and they make like $15,000 to $35,000 for this. Give me a break. Just go to Chuck E. Cheese. It'll be over in a minute. So anyway, that's what everybody wants right now. And I'm thinking, your father deserves to walk you down the aisle. Mother of the groom deserves that dance. And a little tear in the son's eyes saying, thanks, Mom. A moment of thanks, Mom. It's all I'm asking for. And then I'll give you $200,000 as if I would never. Anyway, that's what's happening. I didn't think it could get worse, but it did. And I thought the last frontier was destination weddings, which are just parties for days on end, where you expect your mother to put a bathing suit on and go to a pool party and have her picture taken. No, thank you. No, thank you. She wants it in a church. She wants the reception in a room with low lighting. She wants to look fine. And she doesn't really want her picture taken 1,000 times to be on some site, some TikTok somewhere. Forget it. She just wants it to be regal and classy and lovely. And she wants her friends to feel comfortable there. Not like they have to get in a Mario Kart and go around in circles. This is crazy. Just have a party and pay for it yourself later on. Don't inflict this on your parents. It was hard enough raising you. Just, anyway, I'll get off my high horse. Okay, oh, here's a good one. This I loved. I loved, loved, loved. Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, March 27th. Too good to be true. Okay, how to repair a marriage in 16 hours. Good deal. You go and you spend 2 nights at this hotel with the therapist, right? You answer all these questions, right? Right away, you know the guy's committed because he's doing this. Couples are screened for untreated mental illness, ongoing affairs, domestic violence, and substance abuse. Okay, that's great. Those disqualify you. Love it. Super. Who cares? Okay. There's an introduction. You have to answer questions. And they're going to teach you neuroplasticity for the brain. It can create new pathways. Okay, I'm ready for these new pathways. Guess why? Because what these people do for $7,000 to $15,000 is you learn. Oh, this is so great. The second day of intensive therapy is largely devoted to co-creating a new relationship. Oh, yeah, I'm reading this, says Dr. Bader. From the very beginning, I tell people that the key question isn't what you want to change in your partner, but what are you willing to change in yourself to have the kind of relationship you want? Yes, every therapist in the world should do this. The only person you can change is yourself, and a little humility and a little bit, hey, I'm wrong too, would go a long way, longer than anything. This guy learned that he had trust issues about his dad, real successful guy. He was taking it out on his wife. Before that, he was saying, you know what? You don't give me enough attention. You don't, you don't, you don't, you don't. Then this therapist made this guy look in the mirror the second day he cracked. And he realized that no matter what she does, it's not enough. Because his dad didn't love him. Great. Hallelujah. This woman is going to be happy for the rest of her life. And of course, she's got problems too. And she's going to work on them. But man, oh man. I love that sentence. From the very beginning, I tell people that the key question isn't what you want to change in your partner, but what are you willing to change in yourself? Every therapist, nickel and dime therapists, that's what you should do. The blame game, the therapist liking one person more than the other, seen it, been there, hate it. Everybody look in the mirror. You're doing something. You're not perfect. You're doing something. Okay? Easy to point, not easy to look. Loved it. I hope this takes off like it could actually save marriages. It really could. Best thing I've read in a long time. Then there was this other thing that was kind of cute. So Uncle Vanya is coming back to Broadway. And after COVID, we all look back on these unhappy moments, okay? How the century-old Uncle Vanya emerged as the play most relevant to our contemporary anxieties. Okay, that's true. That's true. It's like, it's so dark. We're all like not understanding anything that's going on. And he talks about the environment and, you know, the degradation. It could have been written by degradation of the land, of the world. It could have been written by Greta Thunberg. I mean, so many of the lines in this play apply perfectly to what we're living through now, which is very sad. Because the first time I saw Uncle Vanya, I was like, get me out of here. These people are so depressed. I do have to say one thing. In Love Lies Bleeding, this girl in the movie is Mikhail Baryshnikov's daughter. She's a really good actress. They give her this stupid role. The whole movie, I can't get over it. I guess I'm going back to it because I can't get over it. So one note, so not complicated characters, no character arcs, nobody learns anything, but they make this girl be this really pathetic lesbian. And oh my God, I've never seen anybody treat anybody so poorly in my life as Kristen Stewart treats this girl. They never mentioned it in any of the stories. Everybody says it's a great movie. I just think they weren't very kind to each other. So I expect more. That's all I'm saying. So I didn't like it. Didn't like it. Didn't love it. Nothing. It had nothing for me. Okay, so my snapshot this week is about my son, Brett, who died 8 years ago. And his birthday is Saturday. And he was just such a, he was so wonderful. As a little boy, I love to remember him when he was mine. When he was 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, and 8. And we lived in this little world where nothing could hurt us. Nobody could. We were so happy. Kids in grammar school were still sweet. He just wanted people to play fair. He loved the Care Bears. He loved sharing. Just wanted to live. I wish I could have created a world that he could have lived in. He got testicular cancer in his early 20s and then had a stroke. I mean, he didn't have the greatest of luck. He had red hair and freckles. He was a little bit overweight in high school. Hated it. But when he was little, before the world got a hold of us, it was great. One time, his little brother, Matt, had the most perfect day. He had his 4-year-old birthday. We went to a place like Chuck E. Cheese. And I think there were 20 kids there. Everybody in his class came. Everyone gave him great gifts. My dad came. It was like so special, so magical. And then we went home and Kit took him out and he got him a rocket and the rocket flew. I mean, yeah, the time with his dad, time with his brother, time with his grandfather. The birthday party was a sensation. And after that, he did something like he ran in the street without looking and almost got hit by a car. And it was a big rule in our house that you never do that. So now he's in trouble. And it was really scary. And it seemed kind of like he knew better. And Kit and I were just downstairs, like devastated that he was upstairs sad on his birthday. But we were upset because we were scared. Brett comes in to us, which is sitting there, devastated that the perfect day was ruined. And Brett comes up and he goes, "You know what happened, don't you?" And we're just looking at him like, "No, what happened?" And he goes, "Well, Matt was the center of the universe today. This guy is like 8 years old, right? Everything was going his way. His birthday party was great. The rocket went up in the air. Everybody loved him. He got uncomfortable. He got unhappy. It scared him. It scared him to have everything going his way. And he just had to get in trouble to even himself out." I was like, wow. And Kit and I just looked at each other. And it was true. The kid knew. He just couldn't stand flying that high. So we went upstairs, gave Matt a hug. He hugged his bag. He said he was sorry. And it was all over. But we really didn't know what happened till we asked him. Then one time, I was praying. I was praying for something that Kit needed for his business, like FDA approval or something for a product. And I'm like, I looked at Brett and I'm like, Brett's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm saying a prayer." He goes, What are you praying for?" I said, "Well, I'm praying for," I was embarrassed to say this, dad needs to get FDA approval for product." And he just looked at me like, "What?" It's like, this time he was only 4 or 5. I told him the truth. He goes, Mom, you know that's not the way God works, right?" I'm like, yeah, I kind of know that. He just looked right in my eyes and he goes, "God is that little voice that we all have inside of us. It knows what's right. And if we all listen to that little voice, we wouldn't need to ask God for anything. This world would be a beautiful place." I was like, oh my gosh, he's right. That little voice inside of me is right now is saying, "Why did you ask God for something so stupid?" I was like, "Brett, you're right. You're right. You're right. That is what God is. God is that little voice inside of us all. He's right in our heart." He's like, "Yeah." I was like, you do these things sometimes. And we go to creeks, and I would think it was 10 minutes, and it was 3 hours. He was enchanting. He was beautiful. And I'll be damned if I can't do this. I'm bringing him back. I don't want, I, when we were together all those years ago. We were alive and it was perfect. And I didn't know how the story was going to end. So I just want my memories back. I just want to make them alive. I want to feel the way I felt then. I don't want to feel remorse because it's over. I want to dive back in knowing nothing, just like I knew nothing then. And I'm going to take my life back if it kills me. I do not want my beautiful memories inflicted with the pain of today. They don't have to be. If you try hard, you can just go back in time and take it. Take your life back. Take everything back. Take time with your dad who's gone, or your mother, or anything. Take it back. Dive into it. Be present in it. It's kind of working a little bit. I mean, I can see pictures and I can feel them again. And I couldn't for years. I want it back. I need it back. I need to restore a huge chunk, put back a huge chunk of my life in this empty space that losing him caused, which is normal. But I can't do it forever. And I've done it for 8 years. And I want that chapter of my life back. I want all the chapters back. But that little boy, I just want to be as happy as I was with him in the moment. So that's what I'm trying to do. And it's real hard. And his birthday's coming up. And that's always really hard. But I want to pick a birthday where he had wonderful birthdays. We just had wonderful times. Birthdays were fantastic. We loved our own birthdays. They loved to go to other people's birthdays. They would try very hard to find presents that the kid really wanted. And this is what they're doing now. They don't let kids open presents up in front of their friends, because some kids give expensive things and some kids don't. I don't think it makes a difference. If you nail it and you get that Matchbox car that kid wanted, you win. It's not really about the money. And they would try really hard to get that gift that the kid really wanted. And I would be at these parties sometimes, and the face of the boy opening the gift from the friend who actually listened and actually knew him, it was really magical. And I wish they would let kids open presents in front of other kids again. It's one of the first times that they can be compassionate and caring and generous to the point of really knocking it out of the park. So I'm going to try really hard on Saturday to make it through the day. So that's my snapshot. And I'm going to have more of him, because I get sad when I think about it, but I'm happy to say his name. I'm happy to bring up a memory. I need him back. I just need him back. So, my pet peeve this week is AI got it wrong. This doing it once a week and storing up all the information is hard for me. And I feel like I have to do my homework and I have to do it correctly. And I'm having performance anxiety. The way I did it before, where I'd see a movie and want to talk about it and run in here and just do it really quick, I like that. So I think I'm going to keep doing this, but if something happens, if I get mad or I get happy or I see something good, I'm just going to do a podcast right in the moment, because I miss it. It suits me better. AI doesn't know me. They were talking about normal people. I'm not normal. I don't think like this. I'm not making any money. I'm not doing this for... Pepsi Cola or anything. This isn't a radio show with products. I can't do it. It's too hard. So that's what I've decided to do. I'm going to just be myself. Be a little bit AI and a little bit myself. Now this is so funny, about Red Skelton, who I adored when I was little. especially when he did pantomimes. I don't even like clowns, but I loved this man. So he did this thing that I'll get to in a minute, which is how to have a perfect marriage. But the funny thing is, he was married to this woman named Edna. Everyone loved Edna. She wrote the shows for him. She was his manager. And they were just a great couple. Well, Edna got sick of it. And she decided she wanted a divorce. He didn't believe her at all. No one did. They were like, Edna, you're kidding. She had to go and issue a statement through NBC to get his attention. So she leaves him with three scripts, and he had an allowance of $75 a week from her. I can see why she didn't love being married to him. She was probably forced to be his mother, because the first week she left and went to New York, and she left him with three scripts and the $75. He spent $20,000, which is the equivalent of like $2 million today. She arrived in New York, and the minute she got there, telegrams started arriving from everyone that Red Skelton knew. Edna, come back. That's what all of them said. Edna, come back. Edna, come back. Okay, she didn't come back, but he lost his married man deferment, which I didn't even know you could get in the Army, and he had to go into the Army in 1944. He did, and he met this woman named Muriel. Oh, and Edna continued to take care of his money concerns after this, and sort of handle his career and write some scripts for him when he needed it. So anyway, off he goes into the military, and Edna thinks this will be a very good thing for him. He falls madly in love with this woman named Muriel, to the point where he can't stand it. Obtained a marriage license after their first date, and dined her and wowed her during his off moments being in the military. They were getting married, and she decided instead to marry a rich man from Mexico City, a businessman. He was devastated, absolutely devastated. Edna told him not to worry, that everything was going to be fine. And Muriel promised everyone in the world that Edna had nothing to do with the divorce, nothing to do with her not marrying Red. She really did fall in love with a businessman from Mexico City, but she didn't really marry him at the end. She just didn't want to marry Red Skelton, and she didn't want to know Edna. So the truth is, Edna had a little bit to do with it. So there he is in the military, and he is floundering, just a wreck. But the military can't get rid of him because he's Red Skelton, and it looked bad. So what happens is he gets a furlough because his neck is killing him. He's got huge, I think there's a thing called neck, oh, I can't remember what they called it, throat discomfort. It's an actual way to get out of the military for a little while. And so he did. And during his furlough, he met this girl named Georgia Marine. Maureen, not a Marine. And they got married very quickly, because he really felt like if anybody had time, they would change their mind. They get married. He immediately goes into the hospital to have a tonsillectomy. And they have the perfect marriage, because they started out with him in the hospital for days and days, and him in the military. So they spent very little time together, and she seemed to love him. So this is what he said. Red Skelton, I hope you remember him too, recipe for the perfect marriage. Okay, so here's the first one. You got to do all 10 of these things. Okay, there's actually 13, but we're just going to do 10. Okay, 2 times a week, we go to a nice restaurant, have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesdays, and I go on Fridays. We also sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California, and mine is in Texas. I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. I asked my wife where she wanted to go for our anniversary. Somewhere I haven't been in a long time, she said. So I suggested the kitchen. Ooh. We always hold hands. If I let go, she shops. She has an electric blender, electric toaster, and electric bread maker. She said there are too many gadgets and no place to sit down. So I brought her an electric chair. Ha ha. My wife told me the car wasn't running well because there was water in the carburetor. I asked her where the car was, and she told me it was in the lake. Okay, 8. She got a mud pack and looked great for 2 days. Then the mud fell off. Well, I don't think it was the greatest marriage of all time. Georgia Marine. Okay, she ran after a garbage truck yelling, "Am I too late for the garbage?" The driver said, "No, jump in." She's starting to sound like Rodney Dangerfield. I think, well, the marriage was not a complete success. I have to say, he just wasn't great at marriage. But he does say, "I married Miss Wright. I just don't know her first name was always." Always right. That's cute. "I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months. I don't like to interrupt her." "The last fight was my fault, though. My wife asked, what's on television? I said, dust." Oh, my gosh. Red, please. You're killing me. So that's what I've got this week. I got Saturday. I'm gonna make it through. It's always hard, always, because I would see him. We would always see him on his birthday. We'd go out to eat. You know, the simplest things made him happy. He used to love Fuddruckers. He's just the nicest guy. Really, really, really. Like, I guess people would say, like to us, he was sweet. So I'd do anything to get just one more hamburger with the guy. But what I'm going to do on Saturday is just remember, enjoy a memory. I'm going to nail it. I'm going to have a memory and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not going to tack on the unhappy ending. I'm just going to live in this moment, whatever it was. I've got a million of them. Oh my gosh, when it would rain in Texas, when it's 80 degrees, we think it's 90 degrees, 100 degrees. We're always hot. So when it would rain in Texas, in Dallas, we would go running outside because the temperature was always cooler. And we'd do rain dances on the driveway, like wacky rain dances, like we look crazy, just loving it in our pajamas, in our robes, in anything we were in. If it started raining, we just ran outside. I think about that every time it rains. I need to just think about that and not go, but he's gone. I need to just stop while I'm happy. That's what I'm going to do. Stop while I'm happy. I'm going to stay sane. I'm going to get through Saturday. I'm going to be back whenever I want with a podcast anytime I want. And it's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, AI doesn't know me. I hardly know me. But I am positive I'm not this person that can do this correctly. So I'm just going to stop. I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to come back and do podcasts whenever I want, whenever the mood strikes, whenever something just happened. So just going to be myself, and I'm going to get through Saturday, and I'm going to stay sane. And I hope you stay sane too, and I will be back.
They fly so high, nearly reach the sky.